The Public News Service Daily Newscast, February the 19th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Most extreme weather events in the U.S. have been on the hotter and wetter side in recent years, including fires and floods. But climate experts say the catastrophic winter storm in Texas is another example of global warming. Here's Ross Brown.
Edward Maybach is the director of the Center for Climate Change Communication at George Mason University. He says climate change is a complicated topic and not completely understood, and that might explain why the Texas energy grid couldn't handle demand during this week's storm.
Why the public utility operators across Texas weren't expecting the possibility of a massive cold snap, they just haven't had time to recognize that as a threat.
Maybach says it's believed destabilization of the polar vortex is why we've seen such events as a heat wave in Greenland and the severe cold snap across the southern United States. Amid widespread power losses, millions of Texans have also been advised to boil their water for safety.
And as first responders deal with Texas's statewide power and water crisis, Business Insider reports Republican Senator Ted Cruz's office asked the Houston Police Department for a security detail at the airport ahead of a family trip to Cancun. Cruz claimed the jaunt was merely an overnight trip to chaperone his kids who wanted to vacation with friends, explained it away as him wanting to be a good dad. Business Insider adds an unnamed source said that Cruz had initially planned to take a United Airlines flight back to Texas on Saturday. His itinerary abruptly changed Thursday morning, a fact that was later also reported on NBC by Peter Alexander. It remains unclear if the widespread criticism in any way impacted Cruz's return date. Healthcare workers have often been called heroes during the pandemic, but their advocates say the sentiment can be quickly forgotten by the public, including, in some cases, their deaths.
With the help of infectious disease expert Michael Osterholm, the St. Paul and Minnesota Foundation recently launched the Frontline Families Fund. It provides emergency grants and scholarships to families of healthcare workers who have died from COVID-19. Jeremy Wells with the foundation says the fund is designed for situations in which the person didn't leave behind a lot of wealth.
Let's say they were a nursing aide or something that's not a highly paid profession versus a physician that passed that, you know, who had a $5 or $10 million life insurance policy.
There are two phases for the grants. One provides $15,000 for funeral costs. The second round funds up to $60,000 for long-term expenses. They're administered by the separate Brave of Heart Fund, which was established with the same mission. I'm Mike Moen.
This is PNS. Ohio lawmakers from both parties and in both chambers are joining forces on a bill to abolish the death penalty in the state.
Senator Nikki Antonio says she'll introduce legislation to replace execution as a punishment for murder with a sentence of life without parole. The Lakewood area Democrat worked on a similar bill last year, but calls this a much more robust push.
We're saying the same things we've said in the past, but we're saying them with a stronger voice.
Since 1976, 11 innocent people have been exonerated after death sentences in Ohio, including Kwame Ajamu. He was on death row nearly three decades before being freed in 2014.
Ending capital punishment in the state of Ohio would be like pulling a thorn out of my eye, putting more blood into my heart to pump freedom and life.
According to the Death Penalty Information Center, public support for the death penalty is at its lowest in a half century. Ohio is among the 28 states with capital punishment with 141 people on death row. Mary Sherman reporting. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
Navigating the healthcare system can be difficult on a good day. Dealing with insurance companies, doctors, deductibles, and copays, frustrating. But in a recent survey, Mark Richardson reports Arizonans said getting a surprise medical bill after a hospital visit is at the top of their list.
Surprise bills are those sent by out-of-network providers, sometimes for thousands of dollars on top of what your insurance pays. William McGovern with the Arizona Public Interest Research Group Education Fund says other than the cost, perhaps the biggest problem with these bills is that most people never see them coming.
Patients do the right thing. They go in, they check ahead of time that the hospital's in-network. They may even check that the primary doctor they're going to see is in-network. But other doctors that they see while they're there, or maybe the hospital sends their tests to a lab, or they have imaging done, and those services end up being out of network.
McGovern says regulations are currently in place to help Arizonans deal with surprise bills.
Finally, Eric Tegetoff tells us while Washington state lawmakers consider a bill to clean up the energy that buildings run on, some cities and institutions are already leading the way.
House Bill 1084 would put the state on a path to decarbonizing the building sector, the fastest growing source of greenhouse gas emissions in the state. Last week, the Seattle School Board committed to run on 100% clean and renewable energy by 2040. Board member Zachary DeWolf co-wrote the resolution and says he was inspired by a speech from the valedictorians of a Seattle high school in 2019.
What are you doing? We have 8 to 10 years before we are going to be at a point of no return when it comes to the climate emergency.
HB 1084 is in the Washington House Committee on Appropriations. It received a public hearing this week. This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Heard on some of America's most interesting radio stations, and always online at publicnewsservice.org.